This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN. Welcome to your Thursday, June 26th edition of the show. Hope everybody's good. Hope everybody's feeling pretty good about Cedric Cowart. I'm going to make sure I get his name right first time. Got high hopes and certainly a big swing the Grizzlies took last night in the draft, trading up for Cedric Cowart, a guy that my partner, John Martin, had singled out early in the week as a guy that if the Grizzlies picked at 16, you should take. Now, we thought there's a good chance he wasn't going to be there, didn't we? Thought there was a pretty good chance maybe an OKC or somebody would nab him before you could at 15 or earlier. Grizz do what Zach Kleiman loves to do, move up to get their man. They took a swing. We're going to talk about it here today. Got two more picks on day two of the draft. A lot to break down. What we think of the pick, obviously. What the national folks think of the pick, obviously. It's tough to find folks that didn't like it, right? I think those were – there are some that thought the Grizzlies paid a high price to trade up with the Portland Trail Blazers, obviously. But seem to be across the board mostly positive. And we had Zach Kleiman talking about it. So we're having an opportunity, obviously, to respond to what he says. Should be a big day. There's official news when it comes to Memphis International Airport.
Yeah.
Welcome news, certainly, as it applies to this show. Certainly, and I think the city of Memphis widely. So a lot to talk about today, both in the sports world. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. I ignored it yesterday. Brad probably was mad at me. But I'm wearing my Cubs hat today.
They finally got one.
Had to wait till we won.
8-0, blanked.
Gotcha.
Blanked in St. Louis. Yeah.
If we win today, we can push them back to 4.5 where we had them before the series started. So
that's right.
Need to do it. Let's go.
Blanked
in Bush. Good
to
see you, BC. You're still up 2-1 in the series.
That's right. That's right. This is for all the marbles.
I did ignore it yesterday after another Cards win.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Y'all
shouldn't do that.
Wait, so y'all play today, and then y'all start another series next week?
Yes. I believe that's correct.
In Chicago.
Yeah, and all then right. I don't think we see him again until maybe after the break. I could be wrong about that.
Right.
Maybe I didn't realize we see him again so soon.
July 4th.
Yeah, only three in Chicago, though, right? They're getting us four times.
Yeah, I only see the two right now. I'm sure, you know, I assume you have it right, though. But, yeah, that's interesting. Interesting anyway. Little scheduling quirk. Will you be watching on July 4th?
Will I?
1:20 p.m.
Yeah, I plan to try to make it up there in August to see
beautiful
Cubs up there in St. Louis. I've never seen it.
Now, it's
going to take my Cardinals buddy who went with me to Wrigley. Now, it was Diamondbacks.
Right. That's right.
But he sat there with me in Wrigley, and we're going to go hopefully in August. I picked that. I'm glad I didn't pick this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least the first two.
Well, it's been a while since you've been able to make a trip up there that late in the year with them being relevant.
Well, yeah. I've never done it to St. Louis. I've never seen the new Bush, right? And do we still call it New Bush? I don't even know if we
do that. I think it's Bush Stadium, yeah.
Went to the old one. But I never made it up. Right. And Cubs Cardinals, theirs. Electric.
Yeah.
It's like Packers Bears, you know?
Exactly.
So I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully we can make it a series.
Well, listen, we have a lot to get to today on the show. Yeah. The NBA draft, the first round of the NBA draft, came and went last night, and the Grizzlies, as ever, were aggressive. And they got their man, Cedric Cowherd. Not to be confused with Colin Cowherd. Different person, right?
Different pronunciation.
Different pronunciation. Cowherd, Cowherd. You know, I think we can do this. We don't need an ESL. We don't need that drop, right?
Back on hit it anyway.
Nobody else interviewed for that job, by the way. We are going to look into that. Mm. We're going to look into the legalities of that. I guess the NBA doesn't have a Rooney rule, though, clearly. They maybe should institute one, you know, just for the transparency.
If it's doing any good in the NFL.
But anyway, we'll talk about all that today here on the show. We'll weigh in on the pick for the Memphis Grizzlies at number 11 and Cedric Cowherd. Drew Hill is going to join us at 11:25.
Hey.
We'll talk to him about this pick. He was there last night for the Zach Kleiman press conference. We'll get his thoughts on the aggression, what it does for the Grizzlies, right? Does it change anything for the Grizzlies? Is it now so much better because as a result of getting a guy with these dimensions? And I have a little stat for you that I'll share that I got from Reddit, which may or may not make you feel better about the pick.
Oh, when you say better, it suggests I might be low.
I don't know if you're low, but maybe you're high and you'll feel even better about it, right?
Now, that would be...
Now, I don't know if we can get any higher.
Are we talking about MVP?
Because David Thorpe said he's a Hall of Famer, right? He's a Hall of Famer.
Good grief.
So get your popcorn ready.
All right.
So anyway, we'll do that today on the show. Drew Hill's going to join us at 11:25. And then, wow, what a special treat we get at 1:25.
Let me take a deep breath and savor this.
Because we're going to be joined by our former producer, now producer of the Gary Perry Show at Grand City Media, Bennett Doyle. It's very rare that he appears on the station as a guest. It's very rare. He doesn't do it. Not that I don't think he does, you know, doesn't want to. He just doesn't. He hasn't been asked. Well, he was asked today, and he graciously
accepted. He hosts a show on the station.
He does. Post
game Grizzlies.
Post game. But I meant daytime, right? Daytime, day part 9 to 6, right? You know, it's been a while, and so we're happy to have him back on today at 1:25.
I haven't seen him in the building in a while.
There was certainly a reaction that he was a part of that we're going to have to get it on the record on, all right?
A reaction to what?
The pick.
I'm going to need a little bit more.
The draft pick last night.
Okay.
With
okay.
he and his colleagues
okay.
at Grind City Media.
Okay.
Now, he was not on camera, and I think that saved him.
Okay.
I think it saved him.
Interesting. Interesting.
But it was quite a celebration.
Play those, if you don't mind, those sweet two words he says right there on that drop again. I want to hear them again from his sweet voice.
Screw Calkins.
There we go.
I've missed that.
Yeah, so he'll join us at 1:25. I don't know. He almost made it sound like he might be in studio. I don't know if he right. Did you kind of interpret it as that?
Did you see my oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh?
Right. He said I'll be there. So I think his plan is to come in studio. So if
Huge.
Not, it's
if so.
Totally okay. But you know, because sometimes you know this is the natural
like
trajectory
reunion.
Of things is. You know, we have guests, they come in studio, and then as time goes on, they stop coming in studio because they just are sick of us or whatever the case may be. It's inconvenient. We love having in-studio guests, and hopefully Bennett will be with us at 1:25. So that is the show today. Looking forward to it. Cedric Cowherd was the pick. The Grizzlies were previously slotted to select 16th. They said, we're not staying at 16. We're moving on up. They trade into the Portland spot at number 11, and in doing so, have to give up the 2028 unprotected pick from Orlando, obviously the pick swap from 11 to 16, and some second-round picks. Some are calling it the greatest mortgage in NBA history. Others are saying this is nothing. The truth is probably somewhere in the middle, right, when it comes to the compensation that the Portland Trailblazers received for the Grizzlies to jump up 5 spots. And they drafted the guy, yes, we had talked about him, Cedric Cowherd, dimensions, wingspan, length, range. This is, and we'll hear from Zach Kleiman in a moment. That's what all, Jason, this is what it was about. It was about the tantalizing physicals of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Only played 6 games last year, had a shoulder injury. Concerns, not going to lie about that. Concerns of the fact that this dude may not be out there for summer league is a question mark to me already. But they do say the prognosis is good long term. But yeah, Jason, this is a tools pick. This is like they see a guy that has things. I mean, you literally go from a T-Rex and Desmond Bane to a pterodactyl, right? So you're changing dinosaurs here.
Mm-hmm.
And is it better? Is it going to be better? That remains to be seen, but I see the vision here. I see what they're trying to do, in theory, with this pick.
And that vision would be starting three?
Starting three and much better defensively, right? Like,
I mean, I would ask you this. The rise, and plenty of people have written about this. What is it, Division Three?
Yeah.
You know, you don't see this. This doesn't happen. And while some would say, I mean, I saw some that had them in their top 10.
Yeah.
Some top five, I think, is, yeah, you know, saying that the upside's that high. I mean, this was a guy that hasn't taken the normal track to the NBA. That's one that's sort of taken done all the tests, right? Passed all the tests that we typically apply to these guys. You go the grassroots circuit, you play AAU, you do all that, you prove it, EYBL, you move up, you play plenty in college to where you prove it. He didn't go that route. And so I ask all that the measurables are all there, and we love it, right? We love what he could possibly be. He fits it. But I'd also go back to, you know, Zach Kleiman moved up, took a swing on Zaire Williams. Now, I don't think that I'm making a apples-to-apples comparison here, but the jump up was similar. Mm-hmm. Went from 17 to 10 that year. You took a swing on a guy you wanted to be your starting three, and you missed. You missed. Here's a guy who didn't play a lot of basketball. The difference is when he was out there, he dominated.
Right.
Right? I think Zaire was thought of, you liked the upside, and yeah, though it didn't play a lot.
6'9", ball handling, blah, blah, blah.
Right, but not thought of in terms of ceiling.
Right.
You thought three, but not one that brings all of this to the table. But point being, Zaire was a project.
Yep.
I still think there's some project here.
Yeah.
In terms of hasn't, you know.
Yeah.
This was a quick rise. It's a quick ascension. You don't see guys come around like this often. It may work. He may end up being a 30 for 30 because that's his story, John.
Yep.
The way he came up, how he was just in Division III, Drew's wrote about it. We'll have him on it at 11:25. He can speak more to how unlikely Cedric's story is. That's not saying he's not going to be a star.
Well, that
you're taking a swing on a guy that's a star, and I said if you were going to use the pick, whether you moved up to use it or use it at 16, that's what you want to use it on, a guy that's got the high upside, right?
Exactly.
Rather than package it up with something and move and go get that vet.
Yep.
Okay, get high upside guy that's going to be a starter. I'm not poo-pooing the pick, but I'm just leaving open.
No, I mean, I think
he didn't go number one. You know, and nobody's going to go one.
Number
he didn't go
seven.
Number two, number three, number four, number five.
Number nine.
Exactly. Now, the interest was there. You listen to everybody going into the draft. You talked about him. OKC was interested. Chicago was interested. Atlanta was interested. That was the thing, is that, and he didn't want
to. They knew he wasn't going to make it.
He wasn't going to make it to 16.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, that was not the same with Zaire.
Exactly.
Who many thought, right?
He was like a 20th. Like,
yeah. So why are y'all taking him up here?
Right.
That was sort of the take on him.
Yes.
Whereas the interest for where Cedric went seemed to be there. That's where they're different.
Exactly right.
But where they're the same is Zach Kleiman's taking a swing on his three.
That's right.
And he traded up to get him.
That's right.
And we need this one to pan out.
And I mean, if we're gonna call balls and strikes, Zach Kleiman's swings have never connected. They just haven't. I mean, like taking Desmond Bane at 30th is not a swing. Taking Santi Aldama at 30th is not a swing. These are late round picks that anything is a gamble.
Yeah.
But Marcus Smart was a swing. That was a miserable fail. Zaire Williams, that trading up to get Zaire Williams was a fail. That 2022 draft disaster of a draft class with Laravia and Kennedy Chandler and David Roddy.
Right.
That was a swing. That was a fail. So these big swings have not been kind to Zach Kleiman. I could, I guess, argue that he's due. Like, he's due for one of these to hit. I understand, you know, I'm not going to, you know, fault him for going up and getting a guy that he had conviction about, because what I was going to read is this list of wings with a 7'2 wingspan that have been taken in the first round since 2016. I mean, that's what Cedric Coward has, right? That 7'2 wingspan.
These are these dimensions.
Yeah. Dimensions. This is from Reddit. Here's the list. Now, they classify this guy as a wing. I don't think he is that, but we'll just go with it. Siakam, OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges, PJ Washington, Rui Hachimura, Scotty Barnes, Jalen Williams, Tari Eason, Koulibaly, Walker, Jairus Walker.
All those guys stand out to me defensively.
Exactly.
That's what he's going to, you know, you're hoping right off the top he brings to the table.
Yeah.
I'm just piggybacking on where you're at. I mean, this is the athleticism that, let's be real, that Jalen Wells doesn't bring to the table,
exactly.
Right? Right, as a starter. as a potential star.
Exactly.
Love Jalen Wells to death and what he brought to the table. This is the kind of guy in terms of these measurables you're talking about.
Yep.
That you want to be your starter. Again, I mean, Harrington wrote it. Could be a mirage.
I mean, if you
we're talking about worst, a late bloomer here.
The worst veteran, I mean, because, you know, Tari Eason, Bilal Coulibaly, Jairus Walker, but, like, those are all, you know, rookies, first year guys, whatever. The worst is Rui, right? I would say. And if you if the Grizzlies have Rui Hachimura and Cedric Howard, you'd say that's a pretty good pick.
Yes.
I mean, that's a pretty damn good pick.
Absolutely.
So, you know, again, I get it. I understand it. You know, long arms are better than short arms. That's just science.
Well, it's not just that. He shot that thing at
the
combine.
Yeah.
Off the dribble and everything else. He was right up there with the top of it. And you love the way the shot comes off. Like, he's got that part, too. It's not just a deal where you like him when he's standing there in front of you and you're measuring his arms and he's jumping up on the vertical. Like, his shot release, all of that stuff is it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's NBA, you know. It looks great coming off. So, believe me, I read a ton on this guy last night. Matt Norlander's got a great piece that they think contributed to his rise, if you want to believe it or not. The GM started looking at a guy, again, that was a late bloomer here. Maybe they knew about but hadn't studied. And anyway, there's a lot there in that piece over at CBS Sports. Drew Hill's got a ton on him, too. I suggest you read it over at DailyMemphian.com. We'll talk to him at 11:25. But got real familiar with him, and there's a lot to like here in terms of the upside. I again, if you're going to use the pick, man, take the big swing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a guy that many, why I like it, is many has identified him as, here's your big swing candidate. If you go up and you get this one,
yep,
he could turn out to be the 30 for 30. Folks have said it. I almost hesitate to do it. But an MVP candidate, what are we talking about here?
Yep.
If you've gotten that kind of guy that's going to be that kind of a difference maker, just set aside MVP. That's happening for only the best.
Right.
But if he's an all-star, if you've gotten the next Jalen Williams, you know what I mean, just in terms of impact.
Yep.
My goodness. Zach Kleiman's finally, as you said, he's done this before, but he's finally struck gold in one of these swings.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think the bust potential is high for him. Like, I think his defensive ability will give him a certain mm-hmm. amount of floor. It's like, will he be able to I mean, his percentages were insane.
And yeah.
Like, was it like 70% from two? I mean.
Well, and here's the thing, is Dylan Brooks once started here for a long time as a second round draft pick that we thought wasn't athletic enough to play in the NBA. This guy's got all of that, all the athleticism, and you love where the shot is, right? You love the way that the shot looks. He probably brings more to the table. My point is, Dylan Brooks held it down with an attitude and an edge.
That's right.
With less.
Yep.
This guy's got all the measurables. He's
yep.
jumping out of the gym.
Yep.
And if he's, you know, plenty of people have written about it. If he's as motivated to, in terms of a competitor.
Yep.
As they say, then you might have your starting three for a long time here.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean,
and that's what you got to have to move up in the West.
Yeah,
more athleticism, more guys like him.
And we have we actually, you know, because I think that's the good question. It's like, how are the Grizzlies sort of viewing his timeline? You know, like, how are they viewing his timeline with Ja and Jaren and you know, how that all works together? And Zach Kleiman actually had a long answer about that yesterday. It was very illuminating in terms of the way they view this. But this is Zach Kleiman yesterday on that topic specifically.
The ability, mm-hmm. let's say, to acquire better talent in the future.
Yeah, I mean, John and Jaren are not old. You know, I guess I would start there. I think there's different ways that you can build towards where you're ultimately trying to get to. And I think one of the things that we acknowledged, you know, coming out of this is that you can push in different ways. You know, we insert in closely looking at, you know, all of the avenues that we could pursue. I think we specifically identified Cedric, you know, in this draft as a player that has more upside, you know, at least than a lot of the, you know, names that get thrown around, which are not necessarily available. Most they're, it's easy to throw out names, you know, right? But like we see, you know, and we have real belief, you know, in Cedric, and we'll get, you know, kind of more into him. But I think part of the rationale, you know, for making this type of a move is the pursuit of a potential higher end outcome. You know, we could, I intimated this maybe, you know, at the end of the season, but we do feel like we're not just like one guy away from Are we one guy away from maybe getting a little bit further? Sure, but we for being honest with ourselves, we don't feel like we're one guy away from winning the championship next season. So with that in mind, when you're looking at the options of making this kind of a swing, pushing in these kind of an assets coming out of the Dez trade, we would rather aim what we hope will be higher. You know, we see, you know, higher end outcomes of what this could be. Nothing. It's the draft. There's no certainties, you know, in any of it. But if, you know, the goal is the goal, which is to do something, you know, legitimately high end, you know, when as soon as we're able to, you know, and hopefully he, I'm not going to come too early for me to say, oh, is he, what's he going to do this season? What's his, you know, he's going to come in, you know, last season, Jalen, we thought was going to be in the G League, and he came in and earned the starting spot and ran with it. So nothing will be handed to Cedric, but he'll have every opportunity. We'll go by merit, and you know, whatever he deserves, he'll, you know, is an opportunity that he'll get. To specifically answer your question, yes, I do think Cedric, you know, from an age standpoint, absolutely could line up with John Jaren. I don't see why that would be problematic if he, you know, is able to emerge as a difference making, you know, player in the coming years.
So there you go. He sees that, he thinks that this, you know, and I would say like Chet Holmgren's 22 and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is 25 or 26. So it's been done before. A little different when you're integrating like a wing, but I mean, obviously they see this overlapping. So
part that stood out to me the most about what he said was this part. We specifically identified Cedric in this draft as a player that has more upside than a lot of the names that get thrown around in trade speculation, which are not necessarily
right,
available.
Right.
Drew Hill wrote about that again over at DailyMemphian.com. He'll join us next. But it felt like he was addressing directly the speculation we'd had here on the show. The speculation been out here and around that, hey, you use the pick, you put it with Cole Anthony, and you go get a veteran, you know, whether that's P.J. Washington, whether it's Herb Jones. What it felt like he was hitting that directly and saying, you know, we see that. They're not available necessarily. I mean, he used the word necessarily, so who knows? Maybe not available in the way that you want.
Right.
Right? Maybe not available at all. Who knows? It hits all of that. But what he's saying is, and he said it very directly, we see the higher upside with Cedric. And where I'll roll with him, because you know I was a guy that said, go get the vet.
Yep.
I want to vet this thing up and let's roll. Let's see it. However, said, if you want to take the big swing, make sure it's a guy like that. He also said, you got to take a step back. Now again, you could say this is same. You're trying to get that same three that you were trying to get with Zaire right back in, what was that, 2021. But this is a little different because what's different is they've identified that it's not going to work with Bane in the big three, right? And maybe you've got a guy who, you know, doesn't just become a star, but, you know, do what you need at the three, but can become a superstar in the future here. My point is that he said, we've acknowledged we've got to take a step back and try to find different avenues toward winning here. And getting another perhaps foundational guy is a way to get there. And so as opposed to, right, we said it was one formula, trying to win with the big three, putting a big burly center next to Jaren. It was just one way to win. They have to try to find a new way, right? With this current system, the taxes and everything else staying away, you can't pay a big three. Mm-hmm. You have to try to find a new way. I'm giving him credit here for taking a step back and taking on a swing on a guy who knows, maybe he fits right now, John, with your big two. Maybe he becomes the star down the road.
Yeah.
I'm not ruling that out. There's that kind, perhaps, upside with it. I'm allowing it to be there.
Yeah.
And say possibly this happens, or you could miss.
Yeah.
And you could say, you know what, we went young again.
Yeah.
And we kicked it, you know, and we were waiting on him to develop, and my gosh, didn't Ja and Jaren, what they're going in year 8 and 9, yeah, they're signed up, but you haven't moved at all. Hopefully he's finally hit, man, on the swing piece. It's common for us to sit here and, for us guys to say this is going to work or not, right, on day one. I'm giving this space.
Yeah.
Even though I was all about vetting up, I'm going to sit back. I'm going to say let's hope it works. It needs to work because you went young again. Needs to be a starter.
Yep.
He needs to live up.
Yep.
Taking this kind of swing again. That's what you gave up is not insignificant. That 28 pick Orlando there, it's not insignificant.
Right. You're hoping that they're awesome, right? You're obviously hoping that they
But, you know, but he is saying this is a better path to winning than us go getting a P.J. Washington right now, sticking him in here. Sure, that might make us better right now today, mm-hmm. right? But it does it get us closer to a title? No, let's take a step back. Let's find other routes. I'm giving him credit for that because I think it's what you need to do
yep.
in the grand scheme of things. Find other ways, the most ways you can to win. Get the most bodies in here yep. and look the most like OKC as you can. Athletic bodies all over the freaking roster, bro.
By the way, OKC got our boy Sorber.
It's a great fit. I mean, it's perfect for them.
I mean, are you kidding me? He gets to, like, sit on the bench and develop behind Hardenstein and
Rich get richer. I've been telling myself, and, you know, maybe I'm being naive, but that they really liked Coward.
Yeah, you.
And that if they, you know.
Right.
They would have, you know, snagged him up, trade. What maybe they wanted to trade yeah. up and get him, but
I mean,
maybe you got a guy that they, right. you know, off the board. Now I'm not. Their pick's going to work out. OKC right. right now, Sam Prist, they can't miss. What right. are we talking about here?
Right.
But I've been telling myself maybe we scoop them.
Well, the one to
a lot of people said that OKC had real interest in Coward.
The one to compare it to was going to be Carter Bradley, right? Because you could have had Carter Bradley.
Sure.
So. Those two careers are going to, like, how does he like, do with like, the Spurs organization, right?
Good call. It's like we did with Trey Murphy and Zaire.
Exactly.
Because they ended up getting Trey at 17.
Exactly.
Your old pick.
So, I mean, it does feel like the Spurs, you know, would have drafted Coward if he was there. Maybe they were surprised that Bradley was still on the board there at 14 because he was projected to go top 10 at one point. Bradley was. So for him to fall to 14, they got to feel like that was a gift. But, yes. Because I was talking to somebody involved in the NBA yesterday, and they said Carter Bradley would be the perfect pick for the Grizzlies. Like, they loved Carter Bradley on the Grizzlies specifically. That's the guy that they mentioned. So that's and they play the same position. So that's going to be the one that, you know, gets looked at.
Norlander wrote about the kid, so he's talking to his representation before the draft. So he's talking to his representation. He said that Chicago was interested, Atlanta was interested, San Antonio was interested, OKC was definitely interested.
Yeah.
So you had to go up. That's why I credit. I mean, if that many teams
they had good intel,
were sniffing and, yeah. and thought this one looks more real than Zaire,
no
who
doubt.
Everybody thought, still, yeah. you're taking a swing. This is one we wouldn't have taken.
Yeah.
So other teams look like they, you know, might have taken this swing, too, on Coward. That's the difference. That's why I feel more confident about it, if that
Absolutely.
Makes sense.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. All right, we'll come back. Drew Hill is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about his thoughts on this pick, the vision, what Zach Klima had to say. Lots more to come. Jason and John.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave. Welcome to the club.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
How do you turn to FM? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drew Hill covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. He was downtown last night as the Grizzlies got aggressive and traded up to get Cedric Howard, and he joins us now. How you feeling, man? You have a late night last night?
Yeah, Sue, it was a late one. I think it was 2 a.m. I think it was 2 a.m. Yeah, when I got to bed.
Nice.
So, tough one. But you know what? We're still feeling good, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I spent a whole week last week, like, painting and moving and doing terrible stuff like that. Like, there's nothing worse than that stuff. So, like, it felt great to stay up until 2 a.m. and just watch the drafts and talk hoops and be around my work buddies and all that. Like, it was a good night. I was really happy. So, not complaining about 2 a.m. at all.
Well, Cedric Howard was very much linked to the Memphis Grizzlies. He was the projected pick at ESPN at 16. Obviously, the Grizzlies felt like he would not make it until 16, and so they trade up to 11. Just on the player, are you a buyer in the player that is Cedric Howard?
I think I'm split here. I think I'm a buyer in what the Grizzlies did. In terms of Cedric Howard himself, I definitely see the potential, and it does give me a little bit of like Jalen Williams vibes. But like I'm a little bit more cautious maybe than others, because we've seen this go really well, and then we've seen this go the other way when you draft players of mystery or players that played at mid-majors that never really, you know, played high-level college basketball. Like with Cedric Howard, we're talking about a guy that played at Eastern Washington in the Big Sky Conference, which is like not even like a mid-major. That's like a low major, right? And then played six games at Washington State, which wasn't much of a sample. Played really well in those six games, but still, that's not very much. And like David Roddy was a player that played at a borderline mid-major level, right? Like, and he stepped up in competition and it didn't necessarily work out. But then there are other tries at the same sort of pathway. I'm looking towards Jalen Williams, like I said, Jalen Wells, and those players obviously worked out great. So I think that this is certainly a risky pick for the Grizzlies that has a chance to pay off big time, big time. Cedric Howard has all the tools. He's got the shooting. I think the more I've gotten to learn about him over the last few hours, when I was writing about him and we did the conference call with him. Like, I really like his attitude, and I really like sort of the way that he seems to go about things. Matt Norlander of CBS Sports, he was doing their draft coverage last night. He did a great feature on Cedric Howard before the draft and said, you know, he's interviewed close to 400 college basketball players, and Cedric Howard is a top five interview that he's ever done. So, like, this kid is super impressive. Like, I really like the attitude. I really think he has the tools to be great. But he is a mystery, and we've seen these things go well, and we've seen him go poorly. So I'm in wait-and-see mode here.
I'm right with you, and I think that's okay and probably the way to go here. I'm not saying it's apples to apples, Drew. We were talking about this before you came on, but in fact, there are a lot of differences, and I could go down a list of them. But back in 2021, Kleiman obviously traded up. You go get Zaire Williams at 10, and what you wanted, and what was written back then, was you wanted him to end up being your starting three, and he's going to, you know, hopefully be given that chance to win it and all that. How would you say this, right, moving up to get Coward and what he represents? I mean, from everything I read, you're hoping at some point he's your starting three. How would you compare this moving up to get him to Zaire back in 2021?
I think they're different. I think with Coward, it is with Zaire, there was internally a push. You heard that Tayshaun had really liked Zaire. That was one thing that you'd heard quite a bit around that time. Now we distanced from that, but with him, he was like an 18-year-old who was super young, who had that one season at Stanford that was disrupted by COVID and hadn't played in very many games, and like a lot of the scouting took place on Zaire. Like, they liked Zaire when he was playing in EYBL, right? And like, Coward is a guy that didn't even play at all on the AAU circuit. He's a much older player. You know, he was a senior last year. He was going to go be a super senior at Duke. I think that they're totally different players in that way. Mm-hmm. I guess they're similar swings in terms of the fact that they traded up to try to go get a wing. But outside of that, I don't see – I think we're trying to force it a little bit if we're going to try to put those two players in the same sort of conversation, say that this is a similar
I'm not trying to force it, just in the sense that Zach's been looking for that three and was willing to trade up to go get him. Now, like you said, there's a lot of differences, and almost it's not apples to apples. But I'm not trying to compare it and say, oh, that one didn't work and this one's the same and it can't work. But he was trying to get that three spot, you know. Again, that was different. You know, you had more of a core that you were trying to work around, whereas maybe this guy's part of a new big three. Maybe he's Jalen Williams. You know, I get what you're saying. There's more differences than there are similarities. But it is him trying to shoot again at his three, you know, trying to get that star three.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that's super important. And, you know, I remember the Grizzlies were linked to Jalen Williams in that draft too. And OKC was the team that ended up getting him. And it would not have shocked me at all. In fact, I've heard a little bit of chatter in the background that OKC was interested in Cedric Coward last night.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think he's getting to 16. I know there's been a lot of conversation about that. I'm pretty sure he wasn't going to get to 16 last night had the Grizzlies not made a trade.
Yep.
So, you know.
Another difference.
It's a big move. It's a risky move, though. Like, this is, and I think Zach Kleiman did a good job last night of explaining his rationale and acknowledging the reality, which is, you know, this is a trade that you hope is a win-win in the end. He thinks it's a good trade for Orlando. They spent two of their assets to trade up and go get a player that, you know, doesn't have a lot on tape, at least not at a high level. And this is a bet that you hope pays off in the long run. So, you know, this is what people will remember, this one, because it was aggressive enough and mysterious enough that if it doesn't work out, I have a feeling Zach's going to get crushed for it. But I'll give him some credit for going up and doing it and using his conviction and getting the player that they thought was the best option for them.
I don't know. I guess I just don't. I mean, it's a swing. There's no doubt. But, like, I don't even know how big a risk is it. Okay, what was the alternative? You stay at 16 and you draft a bum. I mean, you draft a 2-bit player. I mean, you give up 28 and that could be something, but it probably. I mean, if you're plotting this out, you're making the assessment that in 3 years, Paolo's going to be 26, 27. Franz is going to be 26, 27. You know, that's going to be like the, you know, again, you're plotting this out, crescendo of whatever that's going to be. So you're saying that that's not even going to be, it's going to be a 27th overall pick, and we love this guy. You know, I mean, I guess the criticism would be, if it doesn't work out, why the hell did you trade Desmond Bane? That's going to be that to me, it wouldn't be about jumping up. It'd be about, like, why did you feel the need to reconfigure this? You got worse. That to me would be the question he'll have to answer to.
No, yes, that's true. That part of it is definitely true. And I think when you're talking about risk, I mean, and then Zach alluded to this last night a little bit, it's like, it is always going to be more risky to try to draft a player with a higher ceiling, right, than to try to trade the pick for veteran players in return. and Zach made it sound like players weren't on the market.
Yeah, he addressed
those,
that, didn't
veteran
he?
Players were not on the market for them to go trade it. But, like, to me, when I say risk, I mean drafting a player is more risky than bringing in veteran players. But maybe there was no risk involved because maybe those veteran players were never available. So I certainly can see that as well. And the other part of this is, too, like, you haven't gotten anything done with Jaren yet. Obviously, you can't yet. But there's been – last night was an opportunity for them to clear some cap space potentially, and that would have signaled, oh, they're really confident that this Jaren deal is going to get done. And maybe they still are, and Zach still called it a priority. But that's not a certainty. And so I think when you look at the future, yes, this is a little bit of a risk because you're adding a rookie that you view as a player that you're going to need to be a key piece to this team, and you only have Jaren under contract for one more season if he doesn't sign the extension this summer. So you kind of need this player to be good. Otherwise, you're risking going on the off-ramp and saying, we're not doing this anymore. Because you're not going to stay in this window forever, right? Eventually, you've got to hit on one of these wings, and you cycle through a whole bunch of them. It's time that they find one that actually is going to work. So for that reason, I also think that this it is a little bit of a risk.
Did you mentioned it. Zach talked about Jackson and trying to get this contract done this summer as a high priority. Was that just, you know, he was asked about it, so I suppose you have to have an answer. Was it just front office talk, Drew, or was it something that's, you know, we should all be, hey, man, let's be on the lookout for this? I mean, again, you know, Jaren's got to do it. You got to have the other side as well. Did that stand out to you at all, or is that just what you sort of expected in terms of the answer to the question?
Yeah, I actually asked the question about the rest of free agency, and I intentionally left the door open to see if he was going to go there. I just said, you know, what's on the list of coming up forward? Like, what, you know, what's the next steps here? And he did say that. Like, he said, Jaren and Santi, right? Like, those are the two that he brought up. And I think that you can do some reading between the lines in some of these Zach Kleiman press conferences to figure out, you know, what plan A might be for this team. Like, I think we all left the exit interviews saying, you know, he said a lot of great things about John Jaren, didn't say a whole lot about Desmond Bane, and we all took note of that. Mm-hmm. And then he traded Desmond Bane. That's like last night, what I took away was, sounds an awful lot like that he wants to keep Santi. Sounds an awful lot like that Jaren extension still front of mind. And then the other thing that stood out was, like, said a lot of really good things about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, said some good things about Cole Anthony, but not as much, you know. So I think Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's going to be on this team next year. If you were listening to what Zach Kleiman said last night, I'm not so sure about Cole Anthony.
What about G.G. Jackson, your favorite player?
No mention of G.G. No mention of G.G. Last night. Didn't really get asked about that. I did.
Why
wonder.
Not? I was told he was the face of the franchise last summer.
Well, you know, I got in trouble the last time I tried to pump the brakes on GG, so I'm not going to do it again.
There's no brakes need to be pumped. The vehicle is not in motion.
But no, I did wonder because I still think GG is going to be a good NBA player. Also, I think Vince is going to be a good NBA player. And if you figured if the Grizzlies were going to take a pick, that they were going to take a wing, and so part of me did wonder, like, what kind of value do those guys have? And, like, is there a way for the Grizzlies to move one, clear cap space, or could they bring back positive value in a draft and get you another pick in the late first round? Obviously none of that happened, but I was curious about those two. But No mention of GG from Zach Kleiman.
Well, I mean, again, that must mean he's getting traded. I mean, if we're going to use the Kleiman no mention theory here, whoever doesn't get mentioned gets traded. So
no, I mean,
it was mentioned. It was just far less. I feel what you're putting down.
You gotta read between the lines, John. You can't read outside of the book. you know? You got to read between the lines. You're trying to read the floor.
I can't believe you. You're accusing me of reading outside of the book here.
That's a good line.
Somebody's got to be the odd man out, man. Like, somebody's not going to play. Because Jalen Wells is going to play. Santi is going to play if he's back. Obviously, Coward is going to play. You know, I mean, somebody's not getting minutes. So, somebody that we've crowned.
Wentz Williams
feels like, but again, he had some big buckets for the Grizzlies in the playoffs of that game four. He did. He had 10 points. You know, I don't know, man. It's possible neither one of them will amount to anything. Hey, does it concern you at all? I know that Zach said that the long term prognosis is good, but does it concern you at all that we don't even know if Cedric's going to play in the summer league at this point?
It doesn't concern me. It's a bummer, you know. It's disappointing because we all want to watch him play. But, no, it doesn't concern me. It did sound like it was a – so the injury, I heard him talk about it at his draft day interview or day before the draft interview from New York. He talked about the injury. He said it was a labrum, which is what Ja had, and a rotator cuff. And so I was a little concerned about it when I heard that. And then I thought about it, and I was like, you know what? All the scuttlebutt is like that this dude absolutely crushed it at Monday's workout with the Grizzlies and was an absolute flamethrower. So I'm guessing the shoulder's got to be in a good spot if he's going to go make a ton of shots like that. So for me, I think that's sort of – made me a little bit more at ease about it, but it would be really disappointing if he didn't play in summer league, obviously.
Many had it among their best picks of the night, but to you, better pick in terms of fit. They're both good, but Carter Bryant going to the Spurs or John mentioned it, Thomas Sorber going to that aforementioned OKC team that just seems to get richer and richer. Which one you like better?
I think I like Sorber, and part of it is just because I trust OKC's development of players at this point. Like, and he does feel like he's got a lot of good tools. And eventually, they're going to need a replacement for Hartenstein because he's not on a long-term deal.
Right.
So,
right.
I think that's I like the fit there a lot, and I don't like love giving OKC the credit. But dang, they just do a really good job, it feels like, every year in the draft. So
he's got the magic touch right now.
I didn't think that was a good pick.
Yep, Presti's got the magic touch right now.
It's pretty sickening. What they're doing.
Are you sick, John? Are you sick knowing that your boy Jeremiah Fears is gonna be playing point guard in New Orleans?
No, I love it. It gives me a
they're a mess.
Road trip excuse. Now
New Orleans a hot mess.
Loved Fears. Hated what they did at 13 and to get up to 13.
Big boy.
I'm not sure what in the world there. I mean, I guess it's Dumars now. It's a new regime, but man, that was weird. That was weird.
I got to tell you, can I be honest?
Please.
The minute after the Grizzlies picked at 11, I had like no idea what happened for like an hour after that.
Yeah, it's understandable. You go into writing mode.
I just like had to go back. So like I don't even know what I don't even remember this morning. I don't even know what the Pelicans traded to get back to 13.
They gave away it was a ton. I mean, Bill Simmons said it was the worst trade he's seen in a decade on draft night.
Yeah, most killed it.
Bill Simmons is pretty good at the hot takes.
Yeah, he is. But it was the Hawks got the number 23 pick and an unprotected 2026 first rounder
is the big one, and that'll be a great pick, Drew.
The most favorable of Pelicans in Milwaukee. So if Milwaukee traded Giannis, right? Like, how could you trade that without knowing what's going to happen with Giannis? That's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. That's crazy, especially because like the 2026 draft. And this is what I thought about. The 2026 draft may not be as deep as this year's draft was, but the top five prospects in the 2026 draft are all supposedly like super good all-star level talents if you read up on like some of these scouting sites. So, you know, the Grizzlies having Phoenix's pick in 2026, you know, you felt pretty good about that. That was an asset no one really thought they'd be willing to part with last night, and obviously they held on to it. Kind of sucks that Phoenix went and traded for Mark Williams. Like,
yeah.
The hell? Like, I thought they were trying to,
yep,
to tank and,
yep,
get rid of Kevin Durant. And like,
Washington and Phoenix both are going to be way more competitive than
they got the Duke kid too.
Yeah, Malawach. Yeah, I mean, all of a sudden they don't look so bad.
Well, especially,
know,
if Jalen Green turns into something.
New Orleans. Imagine if that's AJ DeVanza or
yep,
you know, Ambuzer. Like, they're going to be kicking themselves. Yeah, that's a bad trade. That is a bad trade.
Yeah, because, like, there's a world where the Pelicans stink next year, right? Like, if Zion doesn't play and, you know, you have Jordan Poole there who's a cancer. And there's a scenario, yes, where Milwaukee stinks. They trade Giannis this summer and they just go all in on a tank. Like, I just cannot possibly believe they would do that to draft a big when they just drafted a big in the first round last year in Eve Misi. Like, why? I mean, it's just crazy. And he was good, by the way, for a lot of the year last year. So I don't understand it, man. You know, the picks that I liked while we're on the subject, obviously contractually obligated to say Jeremiah Fears. I like the Demon pick at 8. I know a lot of people said that was a reach for Brooklyn. I mean, he was 6'9 point guard. Like, give me that ball.
They used all their picks. It was weird.
They did.
Weird stuff.
I believe that's the only time it's ever happened. 5 first by one team. By not trading them, right? Using them all. But I loved
it. It's a record number.
I loved him. I loved Malawach at 10. That's good value to me. Like, he's going to come in. You know exactly what you're going to get from him defensive-wise. Sorber, obviously. And then Walter Clayton Jr. at 18, I think, is a great spot for him in Utah. Go be one of their 50 guards.
I like those.
Anything else? What am I missing, Drew? You say you weren't watching.
I mean, I didn't know how the fit would work with Memphis, but Colin Murray Boyles is, to me, when I watch him, the closest thing to Draymond Green that I've seen.
Oh.
Like, so I think he's like, I think he's got the chance to be really, really good.
All right.
So, you know, he went, what, 9? He went 9,
yeah,
if I'm remembering correctly.
Went 9, yeah.
So, you know, those are the picks that stood out. Obviously, what Memphis did, the first fireworks, and traded up and got a guy that, you know, definitely has one of the most interesting stories in the draft. So that was fun. I got to be honest. I do like what Memphis did. Like, we can talk about how much of a mystery Coward is, and he's only played 6 games at Washington State last season, and yada, yada, yada. Like, the idea of saying, okay, we've had enough of, you know, being mediocre. You know, we just traded away one of our best players. Screw the idea of trying to get a little bit better and a little bit more competitive. Let's go shoot for the top. Like, that's what they just did, right? They just traded to try, but they used their draft assets on a young player instead of a veteran player. I know that's not what everybody wanted, but I haven't seen hardly any chatter of people that are upset with what Memphis did last night. Maybe that's just because people really like Cedric Coward, and that's understandable. But, you know, I think from a logic perspective, it actually makes a ton of sense. And so I'm with it. Even if I'm not 100% convinced that Coward is – like a surefire NBA all-star, you know. I think he's got enough tools. He's got a great attitude. The makeup, like I did a story art with where I interviewed his Division III coach. You know, I talked to him last night, and great guy. And he told all kinds of stories about him. And one of the stories he told, just to tease the story about Cedric Coward. Now I'm just rambling, going off topic. But one of the stories he told was that Cedric, at the end of his Division III, his first Division III season, his first and only Division III season, after the last game, you know, the coach is preparing to give a eulogy, and Cedric Coward stands up and says, "Hey, coach, do you mind if I say a word real quick?" And so he says, "No, but you're our best player. Go ahead." And Cedric said, "I just want to say thank you to the scout team, because coach asked you to learn all the other team's plays, and he asked you to just get your ass kicked and practice every single day. And you did it for us. And there's no way we would be here in this position or as good as we were without you guys. And for that reason, we're going to come back and beat this team next year." And, you know, Cedric Coward was long out the door by that point. He was at Eastern Washington playing Division I basketball, but they did go back and beat that team the next year. And everybody said, you know, said we would be here. So, like, I found that story to be great. I think in getting a player that knows his role and knows how to read the room, like, come on, man. That's exactly what the Grizzlies have been looking for. So, for the sake of the city, for the sake of the mental state of the fan base, and for the sake of Cedric Coward, who seems to be a pretty good guy, from what I can tell, I really hope that this all works out.
And then in terms of the second round picks, they have 48 and 56. I know they have some two-way availability. What are you expecting in terms of today to look like? Do you think that? Do you suspect they keep them both? Do you suspect there's draft and stash? Like, what's sort of your understanding on the philosophy today with the second round?
Yeah, I think the both of those options are on the table. I think two-way contract potential is on the table, as well as draft and stash. So we'll see. It'll depend on what players are available. I think if you're Memphis, I would not be surprised at all. Maybe they just want to take swings at guards or a third point guard here. That's certainly possible. But if it were me, and I know that they've done some scouting, like, I would consider a big that would be an insurance policy behind whoever you might be able to add in free agency to step in for Zach Edey. So,
hallelujah.
Not a guy that's going to immediately step in for Zach Edey, but a guy who can sign a two-way deal and fill in spot minutes for you when you might need him. So, I mean, I like Dylan Cardwell. I think he fits everything the Grizzlies want to do, and he would be a really good fit for Isola's system. And so, you know, that's who, if I were picking, that's who I would probably go with. But we will see. There's a lot of options of bigs in that the late stage.
Is Drew Hill, covers the Memphis Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian, wrote today up at DailyMemphian.com that the image of Yang Hansen will haunt the Grizzlies for the rest of time. Drew, thanks for the time,
Thank
as always.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks, John.
Yep.
See ya.
He is Drew Hill. He didn't write that. I said that. The third Chinese-born player selected in the first round. Can you name the other two?
Well, no, I can't.
Yao and the great Yi Jianlian.
Yeah, I know. I knew I wouldn't get the second one. So,
as we tried to get I think the Grizzlies drafted like Wang Zeelin, 56th a couple years ago, but he never came over. Couldn't get him over. It's one of those things, man. Tough to do.
You're gonna have to tell me what happened with Ace Bailey, man, in this rundown.
Well, I wish I had a good answer for you, but yeah, that was
because we didn't have Utah on our list.
We certainly didn't.
And that dang Austin Ainge.
Austin Ainge, sneaky and cheeky. We'll get into that. Also, for the first time since he was hired, maybe it wasn't the first time since he was hired, but we got some insight into the process of landing on Tuomas Iasalo from Zach Kleiman. So we'll get into all that today on the show. Stick around. It's draft day number two, day two of draft day. Will we have this on 92.9? We'll
yes.
Also have the second round pregame pre-cover starting at 6:30. Yeah, it's good to be Gabe. Stick around. Jason and John, Auditorium Fam. Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.